Well, welcome, folks. Friday morning. Hopefully, everybody's had a fantastic week. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I've got episode 56 here with the famous Grant Tom, head Firestarter, returns back in the Playing With Perspective Suspended Animation Studios. And I always very much enjoy our chats because we really get into some serious business content, and Grant always leaves us with some really great tips and tricks as well that we can implement straight away. And today we're going to be chatting about how to create serious memorability for your brand. So for everybody who doesn't know Grant, Grant is an accomplished businessman and digital ad agency owner and manages multiple agencies around the world. So if anybody's going to talk about building brand and memorability, Grant is the man. So Grant, before we jump in, maybe for the people that haven't seen your shows before, just give us a little insight into who you are.
Thank you, Darren. Yeah, so my name's Grant Tom, and I'm what I refer to in my industry as a head fire starter. And often people say to me, so what is a head fire starter? Because it's quite an unknown title.
Yeah.
And basically, the way I perceive it is that I get conversations started. I look for opportunity and I get things ignited. I get things launched. I get things into the marketplace. I like to be known as a mentor come growth expert with the view to help businesses grow and scale. So I love businesses. Yep. I love the potential. I love the opportunity and I love the passion of where they've started as to where they're going. Yep. I love the vehicle of which they are from, how they travel through stages like we're going through right now, where challenges are on the horizon. But ultimately, I like to see people win. I love it when young people win. I love youth. I love the energy of youth. So I love seeing their insight. But I love the wisdom of the older market, which I call the BBC market, which is the born before computer market.
I love it.
So we do a lot of that type of stuff. So yeah, I'm a head fire starter. I get things launched. I get things started. I get conversations going. That's what I do.
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic. So, I mean, let's have a good chat about how things are going right now and how we can really create memorability for our brand so that when things start to open up a little bit, you know, we are the people that our customers call on first. Mm. So, I mean, and one thing that I've learned in this period is obviously, you know, going an extra mile, giving that wow factor, doing something special that not everybody else does really makes a big difference to building your brand in perpetuity. But, you know, what's your take on that?
Darren, the subject, we're going to need a couple of episodes. We always do, unfortunately.
No problem at all.
But let's try and narrow it down. So basically, let's talk about when it comes to doing something a little bit extra. Now, first of all, with most people, it comes down to service, and it's quite hard when service is a service and it's the same old. I can't make a cup of coffee any different.
Yep.
You know, but sometimes if we just put that marshmallow in the saucer next to the cup, makes all the difference at the end of the day to say, wow, it's a little bit of that X factor.
Yeah.
So to answer your question in the sense of right now, this is the perfect time for you to rise and shine.
Perfect.
Because it comes down to you to maybe just think a little bit more as to how you could step out of the box, because at the moment, service is everything, because service is the only thing we've got.
That's true.
Okay. But at the same time, now's the time, if you've never had this opportunity before because the market was very competitive, it's still going to be more competitive. Yes. It's going to be more overcrowded. It's going to be more desperate.
Yes.
But here's your time to really step forward and just deliver it in a slightly personal and memorable way. And I think a great opportunity in creating memorability is to get to know your customer.
Yes.
Because by knowing your customer, so for example, a gentleman buys coffee from you and you know him by his first name,
yep,
is more than a person that I don't know who it is. So it's a case of just knowing who they are, knowing how they like things, and knowing that you can adjust to their personal favoritism.
Yes.
Is the part of the service that I think can really win and excel and start developing a platform for brands to be remembered.
I love that. And okay. I love that because I always say how you make your customers feel is the most important thing. So whether
it's the experience. If I'm paying for something and I'm complaining because my food is cold or the service was long or whatever, I'm helping you run your business. That's not what I'm there for. I'm paying for showmanship. Yes. Come and show me that my money is worth X to you.
Yeah.
And that, you know what, if I paid X, that you actually gave me a 2x service, that I turn around and say, wow, that guy gave me service better than anyone else I've ever experienced. That was phenomenal. I'm going to go tell 2 friends. I'm actually going to tell 10 friends. That's is right. Ultimately what you want right now, because we're in the world of people telling stories. We're in the world of sharing stories. We're in the world of telling good experiences. Yep. Yep. Because when we have a bad experience, we make sure we let everybody know.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. And as you say, you know, we'll tell 2 friends, we'll tell 10 friends, but if it's really well, we'll put it up on social media and we'll tell thousands of people at once how great it is.
Well, not only that, you might find there's a post.
Yeah.
And because you had a good experience, you might say, you know what, that was also, I'm going to contribute by sharing it.
Yep, exactly.
You won't just, I don't think you just automatically go and say, oh, listen, I had a great cup of coffee. I don't think you'll do that. But if so, you saw something.
Yeah.
Some content.
Yeah.
And you say, wow, I'm going to contribute to this because these guys really impressed me. You would do that.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. But you must remember that you just need one off day to ruin 100 days of good work.
Yeah.
So you cannot have an off day. You need to make sure that your team are getting together and having a bit of a team talk before you start openings, just so that you're all on the same page. If anyone's a little bit down, how can you support them? Yep. How can you make sure that at the end of the day, which I've referred to before, the money line is met by a team pushing with the view to reach that objective?
I love it. I love it. And you're touching on really leadership and culture here. And we've discussed that in a previous podcast. So
correct.
Anybody who's interested in having a look at, you know, the last podcast Grant and I did together, we really dove a little bit deeper into leadership and building a culture.
Yeah.
That is what's driving the creating of experiences and wow factor for your customers. You know, you need to do that.
Now, all that we've spoken about right now, Darren, is a platform. We haven't really got to positioning the brand yet.
That's
okay.
Right.
Now, the brand is, I believe strongly in this, that you need to educate the market as to the value that you are bringing them.
Yep.
And you need to do that on a consistent basis. You have to inform them.
Yep.
You have to remind them. And you have to make sure that you're educating them continually, because as soon as you take it for granted that they know, someone else is going to capture that target audience and pull somewhere else. Because right now we live in a market where you can get what you want,
yep,
when you want, how you want, wherever you want, just because you want to.
That's right.
So it's nothing for granted anymore. So when we're living in times of stress where you're trying to get your business to go forward, now's the time that you've actually got to do 2, 3, 4, 10 times more effort for the same amount of money. So in one way, it's very demoralizing now, but long-term, you'll be the winner.
Absolutely.
In Rose Bay, there's a gentleman that cuts hair.
Yeah.
And he's been there for donkey's years.
Yeah.
And he sits in his window cutting people's hair. And as people go, he is waving to his clientele.
Yeah.
Being friendly to a point that when they come back and they need a haircut, they're like, that guy was friendly. I think I'm going to pop in there next time. And he's been doing that for 30 odd years.
Yep.
And he's got his recipe and he knows how to do it. And he knows how to treat the gentleman. He knows what the gentleman wants. And you're in and you're out and you're done. And yet he's got that window is his advertisement of all he does is as they're going by and he's cutting someone's hair, he's just gives someone a wave or whatever the case would be. And it goes a mile.
Amazing.
And he doesn't have to do that. He can just ignore the world, cut someone's hair and ignore it, and his advertisement will shut down.
Yep.
And something as little as that,
yep,
that we need to think about building legacies, you know, is about putting a memorable brand together.
Yep. And you raise
about experiences.
You raise a really good point, because right now, if there's anything I've learned in the last period, is I'm even starting to do a lot of more of my shopping online. And that's dangerous for a lot of customers, right, a lot of retailers out there and other, you know, suppliers out there and distributors. So you really have to think about how you can go that extra mile to make sure that you are able to compete in this new marketplace right now, post-corona.
Well, let's talk about online for a second, Darren. Like I said, the subject is so diverse. We can talk forever, yep, and not get to the end. If, for example, you've ordered something online and it's arrived and you opened up the box and you've like, oh, that's what I wanted. It's the microphone or it's the, yeah, shirt or whatever the case, it's the food.
Yeah. Yeah, fine.
You know, it did its job.
Yeah.
But imagine if you bought something and it arrived, and you opened a box and there's a handwritten note saying, "Dear Mr. So-and-so, I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time to go online. Here is a $10 voucher for your next purchase.
Beautiful.
Use it on something you think will really be worthwhile." Now, where do you feel better? The first option or the second option?
Oh, definitely the second option.
Sure, the second option took more effort. But at the end of the day, the person felt, wow, I love this. I will keep this. I'm going to look again. What else there is,
yeah,
is what I'm going to think about. Okay. And that's where loyalty has worked so well in business space, in Woolies and, you know, airplane companies,
yeah,
you know, the Qantases, you know, they're working hard on that loyalty to own you, to hold you, to maintain you, to incite you, to invest in you, to reward you, that you come and buy here, not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frequent flyer points. You know, you get the little frequent flyer points for your coffee as well, your coffee cards. You know, there's millions of examples of the same type of concept.
Correct. Totally. And like I said, the subject is so diverse, but just on the online space, it is once again down to the experience that you experience. If you order something today and it arrived this afternoon, you're going to go, wow. If you open it up and it said, "Dear Grant," I'm like, they know my name. And then they said, "Because we loved you, the fact that you bought some groceries from us, we're going to give you a $10, da, 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 whatever." Instantly, I'm going, "Gee, we better keep this. This was important. I love that experience. I got something extra."
Yeah. I'm going to buy from them again. I'm going to tell everybody else to buy from them as well.
Correct. You know, now let's get away from online. Let's talk about just being a normal business to business now.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
That's quite tough because everyone's working from home.
Yep.
We don't know if all the employees are working. You know, there's children, there's homework, but they're all trying to make a day's labor as well. But at the end of the day, it's the customer that's ordered or needed something, be it I want an invoice, I want a document, yep, I want verification, I want confirmation of my order, I want my order, whatever it may be. I want a pipe, I want a bolt, I want a chair, whatever comes. As long as it comes and it's right, then they're happy.
Yeah.
But if it's wrong and there's frustration and it's up and down, guess what? Next time we need to order that part, we're like, we had a tough time. Let us go somewhere else.
Yep.
And like I said, we haven't even touched memorability of brand. We're talking about experiences.
That's right.
Which for me counts for maybe 70, 80% of a brand building exercise.
Yep.
Okay. Brand building, create memorability could be coming to what is the icon, what is the color, what is the words, how do I use it? So what I love right now in the digital age is that people start to use brands in sentences. It's like, "Hey, we want to have a meeting? Let's Skype."
Yeah, let's Zoom.
Let's Zoom, okay?
Yeah, like
Or don't worry, I'll come over to your place. I'll Uber over. I don't say like, I'll go get a taxi or go get it. I'll Uber over, you know, type of stuff.
Love it.
I got into my Tesla and I drove down to, you know, I name drop now.
Yeah.
5 years ago, 10 years ago, we used to call it what it is. I'll just catch a taxi, any taxi. I didn't say 13 cab, you know, silver arrow, whatever. I went to taxi. Now I'm getting specific. And that's what we've got to look at when we're talking about memorability is how do I get my brand twisted and turned to a point that you use it in a sentence? And once again, not everyone can do this. You know, the dentist is not going to say, "Listen, use me in the sentence. I'm off to Mr. White for my teeth." You know, some people can't.
Yeah.
But I think it's a case of this is where our age, our conversation, our method of communication is changing, is with the view to name drop because it's the value that the product or the brand gives me that I wish to input into my sentence when I communicate with you is where memorability starts to become a point.
Absolutely.
If we take one step back, the likes of Airbnb, the likes of Uber, these businesses did not see these digital trends on the horizon.
That's right.
When they first heard about it, they thought, "It's not going to affect us." Guess what? They're a competitor today.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now in COVID-19, there are businesses 5 years now, 10 years now, 20 years now that we're going to say, "Hey, these businesses stemmed from this period."
Yes.
That are going to be important to us going forward. What they are, you and I are still going to learn and experience it.
That's right.
Okay. Yep. Another form of creating memorability is that you have to touch a brand, or you have to be seen by the brand, or the brand has to see you at least 20 times before you remember it.
Yep.
You're going to touch it another 7 more times before you buy it. But it's when I bought you, if I haven't had a wow factor, I'm not going to necessarily keep all that mental storage of who they were, unless it was a wow experience, unless it was a product and service that I really needed, or at the end of the day, there was no one else and I just took you for the sake of taking you and I have to take you again.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I mean, you go through so much work, 7 to 20 initial touch points, correct, just to get it over the line. And then if you don't actually execute with wow, you've just wasted everything and you might lose the person forever anyway. Isn't correct that incredible?
Totally. Now, here's the whammy. From a business owner's perspective, this is the hardest pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Because branding doesn't always mean revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Branding creates memorability as long as your product and your service and the quality and the value can be delivered.
Yep.
But at the same time, a lot of business owners want a sale. They want a deal. So therefore, they throw away the branding brush and they're bringing out the sales brush.
Yes.
With the view to say, well, you know, buy me rather than remember me.
Yep.
And I appreciate why, because they got bills to pay now, not later. So they want to pay the bills now.
Yep.
Okay. So that's the tussle that business owners have as to where to invest. So
definitely
the answer comes in 3 ways. One, you need to have consistent content in the marketplace all the time.
Agree. Totally.
Number 2, you need to put a product and service out there in such a way that it creates an enticing of value with the view to keep me engaged.
Yep.
But once I've bought, reward me, entice me, make me feel special so that I turn around and say, you know what, the way it started, I recall this, I recall that. And at the end, I walked away with that. Wow, that was superb.
Absolutely. And really, I mean, what you're talking about is sales versus marketing. That's how I look at it. I simplify it and I say sales versus marketing.
Yeah.
For me, sales is when you go to them, you have to knock down the doors. You have to get the deal over the line.
Correct.
Marketing, they come to you. And if you do the work, as you say, in 3 or 4 different ways consistently, and they come to you, I know which one I want.
So we talk about the memorability of the brand. Let's talk about what is the ultimate goal of the business really at the end of the day. And for every business owner who doesn't really think about this because they're so busy in the process of the hustle, mm-hmm, is that eventually you want to sell the business.
Yeah.
And yes, you go to an accountant or an auditor and they will turn around, they'll work out the goodwill, they'll work out the assets, they'll work out the clientele, they'll work out a potential earning of 3 to 5 years, yeah, and they'll come up with a figure.
Yeah.
But if your brand was well known, once that mathematical equation is done, you can actually turn back and say, well, now let's sell the brand. You've bought the business.
Right.
Let me sell you the brand.
You can actually add that component on top.
But people don't think that way. You know, it's sort of thrown in, oh, it's part of the business. It's not. It's got a life of its own. It's got a memorability. If it's owned by the market, there's a certain number of people. Like, I'm going to say a word to you right now. And as soon as I say it, you're going to know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Coca-Cola.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. If I had to buy Coca-Cola today, they will turn around and say, yo, well, you can buy the machinery, the bottling plant, the transportation, the ingredients, that are, but at the end of the day, but the badge is worth.
That's right.
Okay. Now, on a smaller scale, I'm not a Coca-Cola. I appreciate that. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that the same formula can't apply.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you make the price unrealistic to the value in the sense of its potential earnings, then, of course, you're not going to come right with a deal. But if the brand is well known, it's a no-brainer to go that extra mile because the badge will sustain the value of the clientele with the engagement, with the view that the sales will pay for the purchase of the business.
That's right. Because its brand has created such a strong emotional connection over years and years of brand building and marketing.
Yeah.
That you can trust in that for the future.
Correct. That's it.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
So I don't know. Have I answered the question?
Yes, I think definitely. I think we're going to have to do a number 2 because there's so much more to unpack.
Yeah.
So definitely let's do that. But what would be great to discuss as well, it kind of would be remiss of us if we didn't actually discuss the converse, which is a lot of people right now could be hustling, trying to do what they can to make deals, to make sales, and they could be executing activities that might be ruining their brand.
Sure.
So what do people have to think about to avoid, to make sure that they don't do the exact opposite of what we are trying to achieve here? And again, that's probably a big question.
You know, it's like those little kiddie games where you've got little shapes and you've got the little blocks on the side, and now you've got to put the square block in the square hole and the round peg in the round hole. Yeah, it's similar. So what happens is you get a square hole. You haven't got a square peg, but you've got a round peg, but it can still fit. So you put it in. There's a bit of gap.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's my animatic answer to that, in the sense that if it fits, but it's not a perfect fit, there's opportunity for movement. Or
I like that.
Okay. That's when
there are cracks.
Yeah, there's cracks, there's holes. Yeah, you know, it's not a now that's when you are not a perfect fit for what was requested, but two parties are trying to compromise from a it can do attitude.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't got the time to look in what else. That's all that you've got. I'll just go with it. Whatever the case may be, just take it. The next customer will come in. I don't want to know who you are. I'm sure you'll come back another day, another time.
Good enough. She'll be right. Good enough.
Yeah. So let's say, for example, hardware stores. You know, I want to paint my house. Here's a tin of paint. Take the tin of paint. I go back. I paint my house. It wasn't great paint. I didn't have a great experience. But I'll go back to another hardware store. I'm not loyal to anyone. But he also is not too perturbed about it.
Yeah.
So that I think when you do a disservice is when you don't listen to what is requested. Mm-hmm. You don't explain as to what you're going to get. And when you deliver it in a tired manner or attitude, I think that people, if they feel begrudged about their investment in you, is when I think you are tarnishing your brand.
Yep.
I think another part of going where it can go wrong is when you do not have, when you have opportunity, but you do not apply the opportunity to put your brand forward in a transaction or an opportunity. Say, for example, I deliver a box to your house. You've ordered it online, but I've got no branding on that box whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, I rely heavily on the fact that you remember where you got me from.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But, you know, so it's how many touch points can I create? How many memorable spots can I find?
Yeah.
Branding is a science. You know, when you get a logo is a logo, which is a badge. Mm-hmm. Branding is the science that you apply as to how many surfers you can put the brand to.
Gotcha. It's the execution of that logo.
Execution and placement.
Yeah.
Placement is everything. If I put it on the pen, or I put it on the slip when I pay, or I put it on my cup when I drink, or I've got it on my vehicle, or I've got it outside my building, or I've got it on my guy's uniform. It's how many times can I place that badge that eventually it works. And this is where designers, I think, go wrong in the sense that they come up with a funky design that looks great on computer. But a good designer is a person who can make a great design be made by a machine in the industrial space.
Yes.
A machine has to make the sign. Yeah. A knitting needle has to embroider the badge.
Yeah.
That makes a good designer, because when it looks good, because the machine was able to excel in its tooling to deliver, then you were a good designer. But when it looks good on computer, but it is terrible to execute, is when there's a misception taking place.
Wow. So it's really, I mean, I love what I'm hearing. It's really, you can lose opportunities or not really exploit opportunities by really not thinking of the execution.
Correct.
If you think about the execution properly and think about all the different avenues that you have to execute 150%, then you are doing yourself a real service. And
correct.
By the same token, you're doing yourself a disservice if you just be very haphazard and say that's good enough.
Correct. Yeah. And I think another big secret in this going the extra mile to missed opportunities is to not make it complicated. Because as soon as you make it complicated, your team will drop the ball. Yep. Keep it simple. Yep. keep it impressive. Just the smallest things can go a long way. You know, you don't need to go crazy.
Very true. And I think the easier it is you allow your customers to find you, connect with you, buy from you, even in terms of social media, the easier, you know, the easiest way for people to access what you have to offer, the more, the stronger the audience you create.
Correct.
If you make it hard for people to find you and click this link and where's the link and where's it taking me to this page and the landing page and I've got to fill in more details, it's all getting too complicated. I'm just going to switch off and go somewhere else.
Correct.
I think it's all about ease of execution as well.
Totally. So I had an experience a couple of days ago. I was talking to some people and they sent me some manuals across and it came in a beautiful box, a nice little lock. And I opened the lock. And as I opened, there were the manuals, but the rest of the box, the spare space was covered with lollies.
Yeah.
And instantly you're like, wow, now I put those lollies in a little jar on the side, but you know, I constantly, I walk past the lollies. I look at them and say, they, you know, that was a nice touch. Nice. So there was spare space in the box. The lollies didn't cost them a lot of money. Yep. They just filled it up. So it was a surprise to me. Yes, I was interested in the manual, but you know what? They gave me a little bit of something to say, and when I go by, I remember, and it's as little as that. Not that everyone must now put lollies into things. That's not what I'm saying. It's just to find that little touch that is pertinent to your product, your service, your connection. So for example, someone's bought a house. Yeah. I could say, right, you know, you've welcome to the area. Let me introduce you to 10 or 100 of the stores in your area because I've got to know them.
Yeah.
And let me create an introduction for you that you can say, hey, you know, Manny, the sales agent has introduced you. You can mention my name and go to these people.
Yeah.
Suddenly it can just make such a big difference rather than, oh, well, best of luck in your new home and off you go.
Yep.
You know?
I love it. And see, what it really boils down to me is creativity.
Correct.
And lateral thinking.
Correct.
I mean, there's a fantastic, one of the founders of Creative Live, very famous online learning site.
Yeah.
His name is Chase Jarvis, and he's got a podcast and he's written a book.
Yes.
His latest book is all about creativity. And one of his philosophies is that creativity is a muscle that we all have.
Yeah.
And we just have to learn to execute it, exercise
use it. Yeah.
And the more we actually start using it, the more creative we become.
Correct.
That's exactly what, you know, we can use in terms of being opportunistic and in our branding as well, is think about how we can lateral think, how we can be creative. You see a bit of empty space. What can we put there in? What can we do? What can we add? What can we give as a wow factor? You know?
So you just said something very interesting. It's about creative. A lot of people say, I'm not creative. You don't have to be creative. Creativity comes in many forms. We're not asking you to draw a picture or make a painting or design a logo. Yeah, we're trying to say, make an experience wow. And the way I learn about making great wow experiences, I turn 9 times out of 10, I put myself as the customer and say, how would I like to receive it?
Yeah.
What can you give me right now that might make you go, wow, that was pretty impressive?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And something, it might be something as simple as getting your team once a month in a meeting, a creative meeting or a lateral thinking meeting, as to how we can come up with ideas to add value. What else can we do for our products or services to make things even better than they are? You know, something as simple as that might be an incredible way to access loads of different streams of creativity from different people and come up with a solution that is far better than all your competitors.
And I think that forward planning is another huge part of building memorability branding. Yeah. And what I mean by forward thinking is that you know that you're going to be trading for the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. You must be understanding that when winter comes, I'm going to do that. When spring comes, I'm going to do this. When it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to do that. And forward think now, what am I going to do for next year's Valentine's Day now? So that when you come, you're not going, oh, quickly, guys, we need to think of something.
Yeah.
Think of it now. Exactly. And you know what's the best part? There is so much content out there right now. Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
LinkedIn, everywhere.
You can ask any questions. Have you ever tried to stump YouTube, like ask for something that they haven't got?
It doesn't happen.
You can say, I'm looking for an old man to knit a jersey. You'll find it, you know, type of stuff.
You will.
So think out of the box as to how you can get an idea. And I heard a great quote. I love this quote. If you want to grow, then you steal an idea from someone.
Yes.
So I heard about this and I spoke to someone else and they said, no, it's when you take an idea from one person, it's called stealing.
Yep.
When you take a lot of ideas from many people, it's called research.
Fantastic. There's a similar quote. I can't think of it, but it's quite similar. And there was a book that was written about a couple of years ago from an English advertising agency mogul. You might even know who it was. And a very simple book with one line on each little page, very small square book. Mm. And one of his quotes was quite similar, but for the life of me, I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, I wonder who it was.
Really interesting. English advertising mogul.
And yeah. Every
little page is just a little bit of gold. And it's
fascinating. Yeah. And that's where that whole thing of less is more, you know. People often overcomplicate, put too much, go too much. It just costs too much. Sometimes less is more. You know, just sometimes the smallest thing goes a long way. Like, you know, if you get a coffee and there's a little biscuit on the side,
yep.
Like, wow, got a little bit of extra.
Yep.
You know,
a little extra, little touch.
Touch of love.
Fantastic. But I'm gonna find the book and I'm gonna put that book in the show notes for this episode.
Yes, I think
so it's people fantastic. Can access it because it's a really great book.
Fantastic. Excellent.
But Grant, mate, it's always an amazing experience chatting with you. I learned so much. But I think this episode definitely warrants a part two. So I'd encourage the audience out there to send us some feedback, some comments, some questions. And I think it'd be great to get Grant back to really unpack more of this stuff. You know, we've discussed why is it so important to be memorable? How do we stay memorable? And what do we do to avoid ruining our brand and not being memorable? So there's a lot of stuff we covered in this. And I think there's a lot more that we can add. But before we go, what else would you like to leave us with? Anything? Any final thoughts?
Look, Darren, I think, like I said in the beginning, the subject is so diverse. Whenever you talk about branding to me, I think we literally scratch the surface because we're cramming it into a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I think that what I'd like to leave everyone with is the fact that there's no rule for anything.
Yeah.
Okay. It's up to you to decide the level and the standard. All that you must know is that you got yourself some competition.
Yeah.
So therefore, competition's good. But how do you become the best?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
And if you can figure out that recipe to become the best, then how do you stay ahead is your next challenge right there afterwards. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. So strive to become the best, but then you got to stay the best.
And don't take anything for granted. You know, you have to revisit, reevaluate every single time. As soon as you take something for granted, I think you... Very few people, 0.001% of people can take a business for granted.
100%.
The rest of us have to work at it all the time.
Yeah, because otherwise that's when the cracks start to form.
Correct.
And that's when danger is imminent.
Correct. Totally.
Absolutely. So Grant, thank you very much, mate. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
GrantTom.com.
Yep.
Which is GRANT and then THOM.com, or email me at granttomdesign@gmail.com. I'd love to have interaction with people who want to ask questions about where they're at with their business and what they could possibly do and creativity and branding. I'd love to explore further with anyone. And if there's any questions on the next show, Darren, let me know and let's unbundle it. I look forward to it.
Definitely. I think that'll be a fantastic opportunity. So for everybody out there, I hope you've learned a hell of a lot, because I certainly have, as I always do with Grant. And if you're looking to really get serious about understanding how branding works, how to take your branding to the next level, give Grant a shout. He's the master. And hopefully that was a nice, value-packed, insightful, and informative episode for our last show for this week. But we'll definitely be back next week on Monday. For another episode 57. But Grant, again, thank you very much for joining us.
Darren, it's been an absolute pleasure. Good to see you. I love the questions. I love the challenges. Look forward to another time.
Thank you, mate. And we'll be back for our part two. And everybody out there, have a fantastic weekend. And thank you again for listening. See you very, very soon.
Goodbye, everyone.